Good evening, Razorback fans. Welcome to another episode of the Hog Talk Podcast, brought to you by Sterling Soap and Roastery Studios, part of the Believe and Buzz Radio Network, where you can hear us each week on 106.7 in Central Arkansas. I'm Porter Hayes. Alongside me, as always, is Adam Hall. All live shows are brought to you by Arkansas Brewing Company in downtown Ozark, and also presented by Bet Online.
Bet Online is the world's most trusted betting platform and your number one source for everything sports betting. Every stat, matchup, breakdown, and even live odds and spreads to bet on during games. With the largest catalog of odds on everything from football, MLB playoffs, NHL, NBA, to political props. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 slots games. Head to the website today to get in on the action with America's most trusted site for online wagering. BetOnline. The game starts here.
All right, we're on at a special time tonight. As you see, Adam is geared up, ready for his game, which starts at 5:30. So showed him a little grace tonight, asked him, hey, went to HR, said, hey, can we start our show at 5 o'clock tonight for Adam? And they obliged and let us. So Adam, I hope you can, you know, be thankful for HR department for allowing us to start earlier at five so you can attend your game.
You know, it's one of those things, they don't do much for us, but sometimes you get in the good graces.
Let me spin around in my chair and we can talk to HR department. Yeah. You know. But as we're speaking, the Eagles Rams are going on right now, and it is 28-22. LA has the ball with a minute 50 left, but it is 3rd and 10 on 31-yard line. They're on 31. So we'll keep you updated on that. But as we started, before the show started airing, I had the bright idea to ask, since, you know, the death and rebirth of TikTok, the ban, I asked, which lasted longer, the TikTok ban or Dana Altman? So, I mean, both in the eyes of Razorback fans and on the nation of TikTok, which, crazy enough, I mean, it was one of the things where we were scrambling because it messed up a lot more things than just TikTok. And I think that's what sent everybody in a frenzy.
Yeah. And I mean, I knew the parent company was, CapCut was also owned by the same one. So I knew it was coming, but I just didn't expect it. It was on my like back burner, I guess. I had heard it and it's like, oh, okay, whatever. And then when I went to edit a video last night, I was just like, well, maybe not.
Yeah.
So then you just start getting into the alternatives, which, you know, we've used 2, 3, 4 different others to try it, but it's one of those that you try it for a few minutes and it doesn't quite work the way you want it to work, so you give up on it. And it is what it is, but it'll eventually, you know, of course, you know, this ban is still in place. We are just given a 90-day grace period for TikTok, so I don't know what's going to happen with CapCut, but in the meantime, we'll just find an alternative.
I guess people, when they spare time on the toilet, will have to just go back to emails and just sitting there per se. But speaking of bands and the state of the Arkansas basketball program, are they just banned from winning a game? I mean, it just seems like every game they can't play defense and stop a three-pointer, which we alluded to on Thursday's show, that they better not let Missouri hit a lot of threes or it's gonna be a long night. And that's exactly what happened in yesterday's game, and Missouri just, I mean, at the end pulled away 83-65. And I think the thing that's most frustrating at this point is you show signs and glimpses of, we're going to pull in, we're going to make it a game, and then all of a sudden, before you know it, it's almost a 20-point lead.
Oh, you know, starting off the game, and it was what, I think it was 18-2 before we knew it. To end the first half, it was, I think Missouri was like 9 for 15 from three in the first half. I honestly, like, I basically muted the game after that. I didn't turn it off, but I was just going to go on whatever. And then the second half, you know, they pull within 10. You're waiting for it to get single digits, and it just never really does. It's frustrating. You know, this is the worst league start SWC, SEC in 39 years. Huh. To have this talent that this team's have, because you can say whatever you want to say, like, these are, maybe their rankings weren't that great, or maybe they are not as good as they were thought of. No, these guys are talented. It's just a matter of coaching and them meshing well together.
Yeah.
And I thought College Game Day made a good point before the game. It was Jay Williams and I forget the other guy's name. Skip
Seth something. Greenberg.
Seth on hoops. But, you know, Seth pointed out that with the rebounding issues, this team needs to go big.
Mm-hmm.
You're having
that's these what rebounds, they did.
You know, go big. You always run guard heavy and you're getting out rebounded by damn near double digits every single game or close to it. But defending the 3-point has been, you can basically count your, I'm not going to say team out, but the opposing team you can count on having a tremendous day at the 3-point line against Arkansas.
Yeah, and that's been the MO even when Musselman was here. And the thing is, stay loyal to the team. I mean, you can be loyal, be a Razorback fan, but still be frustrated. And it's not necessarily giving up. You can really ask the Razorback fan. They're frustrated with this team. They might be done with this year and what's going on because it just keeps happening season after season after sport. You know, it's not just basketball season. It's football season. Then you have baseball season. The big three sports, when we've talked about this for years, they need to – have a year where they do something. If it make it the 12-team playoff, I mean, even if the Razorbacks made the 12-team playoff, or if basketball got to a Final Four or Elite Eight again, you know, that's all it takes is to really, but you've seen what Eric Musselman did, the hype around the team, and then here we come with the football team. And then you see what happens with the football team, even winning 7 games. Then now we're 0-5 start the SEC play. It's frustration. It's pent up. It's the fans that have long been Razorback fans are just tired of this same old deal, but it's the excuses that, you know, well, we need to do this and we need to do that. We need to understand it's year one. There's so many excuses for this team when you've got a coach, and I've said many times, you have a Hall of Fame coach. This is his job. This is not a different style of play for him. This is not a different style of coaching for this team. And even, but he was NIL and one and done before it was even cool. He started it. So it's just why you go back to, is Arkansas cursed? Arkansas was the first one to start an NIL collective. Now they're behind. John Calipari was the first one to really do the one and done. Now look where they're at Arkansas. Something has to change. And we're not even going to talk about the stats or whatever they did wrong. They're still losing. So something has to change. But for people to be frustrated and you've got the ones that are saying don't give up on the team, I mean, I think they have every right to be that frustrated with this team because it was so much hype. So much hype.
Yeah, and I mean, nobody's jumping ship. Let's be clear. There's much worse things that have happened within this athletic department and different programs that people would have jumped ship along before. People are still going to watch. People are still going to tune in. People are still going to talk about the team. It's one of those things that it's embedded in just about each and every one of us. So it's just, like you said, it's frustration. And, you know, we joke about during football season, well, let's hope that we have a decent enough football season to where we're not saying how many days till baseball or till basketball season. And then flip side, we're doing that during basketball season. Mm-hmm. How many days till baseball season?
Yep.
I just look at maybe all the stars can't align, like I mentioned in a text the other day. And, you know, maybe this is something, knock on wood, that we're finally going to get what we've been waiting for in baseball. So it's one of those that can't have the stars align and be good and everything. So now here's our chance at baseball. Of course, that could just be setting myself up to get my hopes up and be let down. But, you know, it's one of those things that I'm still going to watch every game that comes on. I'm still going to come on our shows and do our shows, run our pages, run the groups. And it's one of those things that we're not going anywhere.
All this team needs is a national championship, or this fan base needs is a national championship. Whatever sport. I mean, baseball wins it all. Then that just gets the monkey off the back when it comes to Oregon State. But then it gives you something to hold you off if Arkansas football does fail. Well, we want a baseball national championship. Yeah, you're going to have the people on the outside saying, well, it's baseball winning. You know, that stuff's never going to end. Even if you want a football national championship, well, again, you ain't won one since 64. you know, it's when it comes to the outsiders and what they're saying, they do it just to get under your skin. That's why it's called trolling. But great question. If baseball is not any better, I mean, you're having to really go for a reset. You're having to really, like, it's going to be a long time. We dealt with that last year. Did this long summer of no sports between May, June, and August, you know, because they got beat in the regional. You know, you're not used to that. You're at least used to a super regional. But when you've got a month of that taken away from you because the baseball team lost a regional, it's going to happen. And that's signs of people catching up. You can blame the NIL for that. But you know what? It's here. You've got to take advantage of it, or you're just going to be sitting on the couch blaming the NIL for why your team's not doing so well.
There are many what ifs in this world. You know, what if the internet goes dark tonight? What if I don't wake up tomorrow? Which is a little more, but it's one of those that if we sat here and we're just completely pessimistic to upcoming seasons and other sports and ho-humming it, we would be a terrible fan base. And I know, like, there was a, I forget who put it out, but it was the top 50 worst fan bases. Mm-hmm. And it's been shared around social media. And I think Arkansas was like 15th.
Yeah.
And it's one of those. And, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if it was Big Game Boomer who made it, just because he makes a lot of those.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. The clickbait
type polls and whatnot. But, you know, it's one of those things that we're frustrated. A lot of people don't like when others voice their frustrations. They think it comes off as being not a good fan, not a true fan, not whatever. And I'm just kind of like, you know what? We have frustrations. The fact that we're still showing up to support this team, whether it's criticism or whether it's praise, it doesn't take away. It doesn't mean that somebody's any less of a fan than another person. Your fandom is just different.
I think a lot of the frustration, and this goes to the NIL, is, you know, and I think I've said this on a previous show, it's like, you know, the players have for so long, we deserve to get paid. We want this. We want that. You're giving everything now. You got your free education and you got money now. You can transfer. You can do all this stuff that you want to do. What are we getting in return? What is the Arkansas Razorback fan getting in return? What has the Arkansas fan base gotten in return? Let down after let down after let down. So it is hard to stand behind a team other than you're standing behind you being a Razorback fan. That's where it is. People are holding on to being Razorback fans because that's all they've known their whole life, which is perfectly fine. You're an Arkansas Razorback fan. But when it comes to singular teams and standing by a singular team like this basketball team, they got to prove it. Mm-hmm. You got to prove something. And that's the thing. Everything is earned, not given. And so in this day and age, it's like a lot of it, they expect it just to be given. Okay, well, we're going to bring in Cal. We're going to bring all these four-star, five-stars in. And we just expect everybody to stand behind us no matter what. The 0-5 start of the SEC season is unacceptable. And it's crazy. You are better than that. That's what the thing is. If you were playing Kentucky, Auburn, Florida, Tennessee, Alabama, back to back to back to back, I can understand maybe possibly an 0-5 season, but you're playing some teams that you should beat and you're still not getting the job done and you're getting beat bad.
Mm-hmm.
And don't say, well, this is a new start. Pope is doing the same thing at Kentucky. It's his first year. He's never won an NCAA tournament game. And look what he is doing at Kentucky. So that's where the excuses and all that stuff gets tired, because you're seeing it happen in other places, just like football.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Pittman's got this. We don't have this. We don't have that. Well, other teams that are below you and even with you from a program prestige are now surpassing you. And that's what's going to happen in basketball if they don't quit messing around. Because why are they going to go to Arkansas? Yeah, they might have the money, but if Cal ain't getting it done, if he's past his prime, they're going to go somewhere else. Like in Auburn, where was Auburn 5 years ago, 10 years ago? Where was Alabama basketball 10 years ago? Now look at where they are. Tennessee. I mean, Tennessee was good, but you talk about what was the SEC in basketball 5-10 years ago compared to what it is now. All these teams that are merging, all these teams like Georgia that are winning, you have Missouri pulling off upsets, Tennessee getting upset, Alabama beating Kentucky. That should be Arkansas, and it's not, and that's the reason why everybody's frustrated.
The one I think you have to look at is, I know that a lot of folks have brought this up before, or questioned it more here recently. You know, has the game in the sense of X's and O's surpassed Cal? Or, you know, we've seen what he does with guards, especially guards to go to the league. He hasn't done, and when I say this, I'm going to tread lightly with it, because Karl Anthony Towns, Wally Cauley-Stein, there's been some good bigs that have come through Kentucky under Cal. But are bigs his issue?
I think so, but I think that was Musselman's problem.
Well, it definitely
was. You had big fours, but you didn't have that big five down low.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and even...
I take that back, because Sheboy was a great college big man, didn't pan out elsewhere. I don't know. It's just one of those. It's frustrating. I think that a lot of it, we set high expectations as fans, but at the same time, I kind of feel like at the top, Hunter Yurachek, and yes, a lot of this comes back to him, thought that, okay, we're getting a Hall of Fame coach. Basketball's getting not unlimited NIL, but essentially one of the biggest NIL pots in the country. It's going to fix itself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the case.
No.
And I'm not saying it's completely backfired, because we're still halfway through the season, or we're about at that halfway point, or a little past it. But, you know, I saw there was a post yesterday. Somebody's, and they could have been frustrated, which I understand, but completely just flat out comparing John Calipari so far to Chad Morris. And I'm like, so we're saying half of a season to two god awful seasons. Like, you're just pissed off at this point, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But
no, yeah,
we have the right to be frustrated. It is frustrating. None of us expected this, but I think it's because our goals and expectations have been so high.
And they should be. Mm-hmm. I mean, you want to call yourself a blue blood. You want to call yourself one of the premier programs, premier fan bases in the country. Yeah, that's the standard. I said it Thursday. You're judging this team off of their Sweet 16, Elite Eight, should be. I mean, let's say tournament team every year, just like Arkansas should be a bowl team every year. Arkansas basketball should make the tournament every single year. There's no reason why they shouldn't make the tournament. I mean, all you're asking is, with a team of this talent, a coach, just go 500 in the league and you're in. This is not the pressure of football where you got to go, you know, win one or two, or you lose one or two losses and you don't get to make the college football playoff. We're just asking you to go 500 in your league. That's all we're asking. And that gets you in the tournament. Then go make a run. Then make a run in the SEC tournament. I mean, Musselman's done it, and it's crazy that I didn't think I would be comparing this team and saying the word Musselman so many times that I've had during this basketball season, but I have, because there's similarities of what's going on. And I don't know how to fix the problem. I don't know if Arkansas knows how to fix the problem this year. Is this team mature enough to dig themselves out of this hole? Man up, drop your nuts, and finish out the season. But it's hard to see that when they're still getting beat by 20. This is not games where they're hanging in every game, 5-6. Oh, if just one play would have went differently, we would have won this game, like football. How many one possession games? That's frustrating. But you are getting beat by almost 20 to Missouri. You better shape up, because in a couple of weeks, you got Kentucky and Lexington. I'm telling you, they are not going, they'll put 100 on you and not even look back.
Well, some of the guys, the team, I mean, they've got to realize that what we're seeing, for the ones that were thinking NBA immediately after the season like this hurts your draft stock. Even mm-hmm. though basketball is more of a one person can change a team, you know, we've seen it all over the place. But I look at it, if you keep having game after game after game like this, you squeak out maybe 2 to 3 wins in your conference season, a lot of y'all's draft stock is completely shot, in my opinion. I think you take potential first round picks. Sorry, there's a couple of them that are potential lottery picks, and I think that pushes them back. to where the, you have to seriously contemplate, do I come back for another year? Do I come back to Arkansas for another year? Because I'll be frank, I don't think, besides, you know, we got Acuff, we've got Malik Thomas, we've got Isaiah Seeley from Springdale. Outside of that, like, I think he's going after portal guys. He's going to spend this money in the portal. Because guess what? This isn't a one-year experiment. You know, Cal's going to be here more than a year. So already looking to next season, it's one of those things that he's going to go get portal guys. Maybe he's going to spend a little more money, because I do not think one bit that he spent that $5 million that was thrown out there.
I don't think
but, so. But, you know, the grace that we see, because you and I talked about this, former players, especially on the football team, you want to give Sam Pittman grace. You want to come back and talk about the pros of Sam Pittman. And I'm not here to try to tear down Sam Pittman, but the same person in, you know, yesterday sitting here talking about how this is an embarrassment. It should be better. Cal should be better. He wants to call out the coach, but he wants to sit there and not ruffle the feathers of Sam Pittman. Mm-hmm. Why is it okay for the product that we saw last season on the field with Arkansas football, but like, this isn't okay? Is it because that you don't want your past to be taken away to come back and visit? So you're shitting on, sorry for, you know, Sunday show on Coach Cal versus Sam Pittman. I just don't get it. I think it's just a matter of, it's Coach Calipari. It's a Hall of Fame coach, came from Kentucky, and you don't want the powers that be to take away your right as a former football player to come back and visit. And I think it's a little bit of a chump move.
Mm-hmm. It is. I mean, because you were, I'll get to this comment here in a second, but it is very hypocritical, because you even commented on one of our tweets about, we need to stand strong, we need to be this, be that for Sam Pittman. It's all because probably you like the guy. That's cool. I'm not saying he's not a likable person. But when you're looking at a program where it's easy to kick a dog while it's down, and it could be the thing where he could have said something out of frustration, totally forgetting about what he just said a few months back, mm-hmm. when it comes to the football team. Everybody's done that. But it's one of the things that he got called out on it, and the fact that you still stand firm on one side with the basketball program, but it's a different tune, and you could be right. I mean, you could be, well, he wants to be a part of the program and maybe come back in some kind of capacity with the team. So you got to play nice. But the comment right here talking about Cal needs to go to a different lineup. They try to go big this past game, but if you look at the roster, who are you going to replace them with? You're only got 8 guys. And then you can't keep them out there all 5 guys out there all 40 minutes. That was the gamble of coming in and going 8 guys. And here, this is the thing. And I'm sorry, listeners. I'm sorry. This is my personal thing. We're talking about basketball. This youngest team, SEC started, nothing to give him. Save it. Save it. Because he has put freshmen in. Like John Wall, you look at all the guys he had at Kentucky, one and dones, freshman, and then went to the NBA and had successful years. He has never had an 0-5 start to SEC play. I don't want to hear the excuses of first coach and youngest team anymore. You got a graduate senior on your team. Look what freaking Musselman done with Nick Smith Jr., Anthony Black, and Walsh, Jordan Walsh. He had better success with that. So I don't want to hear youngest team, because Musselman did it with a younger roster. You're supposed to be a better coach. You're supposed to be a Hall of Fame coach who prides himself of taking freshmen, making them successful, and shipping them off to the NCAA. I can't, that argument is just, it's lazy to me, because of course that's what everybody wants to go to, but it's not true. I mean, Adam, how many years has he been a coach at either Arkansas or Kentucky? When was he a coach at Kentucky? I mean, it's what, 15 years, right?
15 years at Kentucky.
Yeah.
What, 3, 4, 5 years at Memphis.
Yeah.
the brief stint in the NBA, UMass, Florida. You know, it's one of those things. You and I have talked about this before, mentioned it, and I know we'll get more into the transfer portal a little bit after the break, but this day and age, basketball has an even shorter window to turn things around than football does. Football, you're seeing it in some cases 1 year, and I'll use Indiana as, but, you know, 2 to 3 years in football because of the transfer portal that you're able to turn things around to at least some extent. So it's one of those that we're used to coaches coming in and having to completely change rosters in basketball. We've seen it almost year in and year out over the past 5, 6, 7 years. So other coaches are doing it. You have a Hall of Fame coach. I think that, you know, going back to the College Game Day clip, I think that he just got this roster wrong.
Mm-hmm. And it's easy.
Now it's on him. And now it's on him to see what he can salvage and what this team can salvage the rest of the season.
Yeah. Because I thought he could get, you know, Boogie. I mean, he could score, but can he? He's got to be like an Isaiah Joe or, goodness gracious, the Battle. Or I'm thinking of the Note, JD Note. You got to be somebody that, you know, when you put the hands on the ball in their hands, they could score. Isaiah Joe, Mason Jones was the two that you knew they could give you 20, 25, 30 a night. We don't have that. And if you had just that on this team, it probably wipe away maybe half of these losses. I don't know. But you don't have it. I mean, Boogie Flan showed a little spark of that in the LSU game. But you got to be able to have somebody take over the game because you're only running with eight. Give him a little break, 2 or 3 minutes, and he's got to come in. And look, when you honestly break it down, you're asking 10 points, 11 points, 12 points a half with an eight-man, nine-man roster, and you're the go guy. It ain't like you're trying to share the ball with 15 people on this roster.
No.
It's not just to ask.
Then you can't rely on your veteran of the bunch, John L. Davis, to come in and produce, because it's been so spot. One game, it's 15 points in the first half. One game, it's 0 for 8, not scoring at all. Next game, it's 7 or 8. I mean, it's been so up and down. I personally don't think that kid has any confidence left.
Yeah.
Who knows? But at the same time, because he's not stepping up, to me, that's putting an even bigger weight on somebody like Boogie Flan's shoulders. This guard's not stepping up, so now I've got to try to do even more.
Well, he better step. Here's the thing, and I've told you how I felt about players getting paid. They deserve it. That's cool, but you're getting paid now. Suck it up. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. You know, this is one of the things. You're a paid athlete now, whether you're in college or in the NBA. If you don't perform in the NBA, they're going to sit you down to the G League. You know, you were come here to do a job, just like Coach Barnes, I believe it was. You're paid to do this. You're getting paid to do a job. Do your job. If you need confidence, spend more time in the gym. Build your confidence up. Have a good game and then build off of that. But it's just one of the things. It's not being bitter. It's not being petty. It's the fact that they have now had got everything they wanted. It's time to produce. And they're not producing. So, therefore, we can say the things. We're not talking about them personally. We'll never talk about them personally. That's crossing that line. But when it comes to them performing on the court – and doing what they're asking the fans to pay them for, the boosters to pay them for, on top of paying the ticket to go see them, it's time to just to suck it up and start playing, or hit the portal and go somewhere else and try winning there. That's the only thing I can say when it comes to that topic.
And I'll say this before we go to a break, is the color of Coach Calipari's suit jacket does not matter. And it amazes me how many people make posts talking about the color of his suit jacket, because a lot of you guys were also the same people asking why there are posts of Eric Musselman's custom Nikes. Mm-hmm. Like, who cares? Again, this is a who cares? Who cares what he could wear a pink one? It just pull an Eric Musselman and pull the shirt off for all I care if we're winning.
Well, you know, let's talk to John Gruden tie. Oh my God, he's wearing a red tie. He's coming to Arkansas. I mean, it's.
The people that are butthurt over what color suit jacket are some of the same people that got mad at all the posts about Eric Musselman's Nikes.
Now, I'll say Forever Rule is an exception. If his ass wears a blue tie, blue suit during the Kentucky game, For every rule, there's an exception.
I'll give it that.
Well, we're going to take a quick break. After the break, we'll deep dive more into this NIL subject, talk about Nick Smith Jr.'s first career start, and we'll talk about some playoffs to ramp up Adam into his game coming up here shortly. We'll catch you after the break.
Searching for premium grooming products that will take your daily routine to the next level? Look no further than Sterling Soap Company. Our handmade soaps, aftershaves, and balms are made with only the finest ingredients that give you the ultimate grooming experience. With a variety of scents to choose from, there's something for everyone. Plus, our products are crafted in small batches to ensure the highest level of quality. So why wait? Visit www.sterlingsoap.com or visit our retail store at 16 West Walnut Street in Paris, Arkansas. Shop our collection and discover the difference for yourself. Upgrade your grooming routine with Sterling Soap Company. Are you looking for a place to grab a cold drink and some delicious food? Look no further than Arkansas Brewing Company. Located at 201 South 1st Street in beautiful downtown Ozark, our establishment offers a wide selection of craft beers and tasty eats. But what sets us apart is our welcoming atmosphere and friendly staff. At Arkansas Brewing Company, you'll always feel like part of the family. So visit Destiny and Christopher Brockett and staff today and see for yourself what makes us the go-to spot for locals and visitors alike. Arkansas Brewing Company, come for the drinks and stay for the friends. Attention DIYers and home improvement enthusiasts. Are you searching for the right tools and the supplies to tackle your next project? Look no further than Menards Hardware Store. With locations in Ozark, Alma, and Clarkville, our vast selection of hardware and building materials is sure to have everything you need, whether you're fixing a leaky faucet or building a new deck. Plus, our knowledgeable staff is always on hand to offer expert advice and guidance. And with our competitive prices and convenient online ordering, Menards Hardware Store is your one-stop shop for all your DIY needs. Visit us today, and let's build something amazing together.
Are you looking to take your career to the next level? Look no further than ATU Ozark Campus. As a two-year satellite campus of Arkansas Tech University, we're dedicated to a quality workforce education. Industry partnerships for in-demand jobs and tailored paths for success. Our programs are led by industry professionals. Whether it's a certificate or you're aiming for a graduate degree, ATU Ozark has you covered. Visit our website at www.atu.edu/Ozark or contact us at 479-667-2117. Your future begins here. Welcome to Ozark Area Chamber of Commerce, where our mission is simple: encourage, promote, and aid an enduring environment of shared economic opportunity and civic development for the Ozark, Arkansas area. Whether you're a local business owner or a resident, we've got something for you. Shop our unique local businesses, explore the beauty of Ozark, and savor local flavors and find cozy accommodations. Join us in building a stronger community. And to learn more, contact us at 479-667-2525. Remember, together we thrive.
And welcome back into the Hog Talk podcast. Before we left, we were talking about NIL and how it's changed, and it's even going, keeping on with the football as, you know, NIL is getting out of hand. I do want to say, Adam, that, you know, players expecting money, players doing this, sitting, and then you're signing with a collective and then dropping out, signing with another school. I mean, it's happening. It happened at Wisconsin. A kid signed with their agreement, dropped all his classes, and then goes to Miami. I mean, we're seeing those type of things in football, and it goes to basketball. You know, it's crazy that out of the game last night, Boogie Flan has a hand injury, and the first thing to, which could be warranted or not, I don't know, but they're comparing it to the Nick Smith Jr. saga, however you want to pronounce it, when he was here. And Nick Smith Jr. just ended up having his first career start. So think about how long it's been since Nick Smith Jr. has been here, and now he's having his first career start finally with the Hornets. But it's easy now. You see these things, and you have to have everything in the back of your mind if he does go out. Is it because he's sitting out now? He's seeing that his stock's going down. They're having to think about these things now. Whether it's right or wrong, who knows? But you kind of have to have that in the back of your mind now because it's happened in other places and other sports.
I get it, because even with myself, it's in the back of my head. But at the same time, I was on the boat of folks that truly believed when Nick Smith Jr. was here that he did have issues with his knee. I'm sorry, I don't have any other indication or anybody else to believe otherwise. The hearsay that comes from groups and comments, I mean, that you're not going to sway me. So I take it for what it's worth, whether you want to take it with a grain of salt or not, so be it. I get why you would think that, though. But you know what? Props to Nick Smith Jr. for what he's done. I mean, he's been back and forth with the G League, with the Hornets. I'm not going to say he's made the most of every game, because not a lot of players get the opportunity to make the most of every time they're in, every chance they're in, especially if they're just coming in and, you know, getting cleanup time. But, you know, he made the most of his start. He had 15 points, I think 5 rebounds, 1 assist. I believe a few weeks ago in G League, he had 33 or 35. So, I mean, he's doing his thing. And, yeah, it's been a long time coming. But with the NIL side of things, I mean, no, I don't. We've all talked about that there needs to be more regulation, more cap. I think we'll see it this July with the revenue sharing. We will see to what extent, because NIL deals $600 or more will have to be reviewed and approved. They'll still find ways around it, I mean, in my opinion. But, you know, this kid that's transferred from, or didn't transfer, this kid that has enrolled at Miami after leaving Wisconsin, you know, like we talked about before the show, my question would be, is the NCAA is still the one that has to grant him the ability to play on Miami's football team. So all they have to do, like you said, was say, you didn't go through the proper channels, you're not eligible to play. You left all you want, but at the same time, the coming and going as they please, the not having to perform to get paid, yes, it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's ridiculous that coaches can just leave whenever they want. I totally get that. They'll find somebody else to pay their buyout or whatever else. It's all ridiculous. And honestly, the people that are punished the most are the fans.
Yeah.
And then the universities, right, too, that are held hostage by coaches and by players. Because then flip side, you've got a coach out at Arizona State that basically roughly has promised $2.5 million around that in NIL, or maybe is more, but from a documentary that's not happening. Basically told these players, and guess what? One of these guys was leaning towards coming to Arkansas. Yep. Quaintance, Jaden Quaintance. And yes, we all know that his dad was shopping him around for a $2 million price tag. But Hurley out at Arizona State got a bunch of kids to come play with the notion of there's going to be this Netflix documentary. It's going to be this. We're going to get paid from that. Guess what? It's not happening. So you've got, and we saw what happened at Florida State with their basketball program. You've got a handful of these coaches that are making false promises too to these players. So both sides of it are kind of a sham at this point.
Yeah, it's, you're going to have the, and look, because if they know the players are getting paid, they're like, okay, how can we get them here? I mean, they're looking. So this could have been a thing that, yeah, we can do this Netflix series of blah, 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 and then it don't happen. Well, you've already got them there. So where the whole thing is, come and go as you please, or you still have to go through the proper channels, like you said. You still have you have to go to them. And it is stated that he did go ask for a release, but here's the thing. To me, that stops when you sign an agreement. And an agreement is an agreement. You have documentation of you signing that you're going to play with that school. So I don't know how legal binding that is or when the cutoff date is. That's what we would have to investigate and find out. But yeah, Jaden Quaintance, he's averaging 9.8 points a game and 8 rebounds. So I mean, he's producing at Arizona State. That'd be a great addition to this Arkansas Razorback team. So you're thinking, you're shopping around, but you know, that's where also the most money isn't always going to give you exactly what you want. I mean, you say come to Arkansas, you get paid $500,000, but yet you come to a coach who promotes you and develops you, and then you get a first round stock in the NBA. Now you're making $30 million over the 4 years or whatever, opposed to, yeah, let's just go do this money grab. I'm going to sit on the bench and And there's players from Arkansas that have transferred out. They're sitting averaging 2-3 points a game. We're studs at Arkansas and go elsewhere for whatever reason, and they're just sitting the bench. So we talked about it in football season. Some of these coaches are just going to bring you in because they don't want you to go anywhere else. I mean, that's just where it is. When it comes,
some of these players are going to go somewhere to collect a check.
Yep.
And some of these players, it's all that. I mean, they're not going to necessarily do anything after the NBA or after the NCAA unless it's going overseas. Like, you don't have necessarily a future in the NBA. I mean, and you talk about, you know, I was just curious. So yeah, I went through the players that transferred out over this last year, and you had Devo that was 2 or 3 points a game. Tremont Mark at Texas, it's at 9 points a game. Caleb Battle at Gonzaga, that's at 13 points a game. Joseph Pinion's at 10 points a game at Arkansas State. And then even going back a little further, Darian Ford was at 7 or 8 points at Arkansas State, which is, I think, 2 years prior. But the one sole one is one that a lot of people forgot about, but was Denajay Harris. And he didn't hardly play at Arkansas at all while he was here. He transferred here from Southern Miss, then transferred back to Southern Miss, and he's averaging like 16 a game.
And you know, that's the thing. Some of these players, you look at Pinion. He's a D1 guy, but he's a mid-major D1 guy. Darian Ford, mid-major D1 guy. Harris, look where he's at, SMU. There's a difference in levels when it comes to, like you say, mid-majors. It's just like going to play at football at Tulane compared to you're playing at LSU. There's a difference of talent. But you know what? If you have a chance, like Ford or like Harris or like Pinion, to go and do something and you're making more money and you are balling out and show that's what that is for. And you know what? Major kudos to Ford, Pinion, and Harris for going to a school, going lower, mind you. You're making money, and the fact that you're still balling out, you're not going anywhere and throwing a pity party, or you're not going into the other situation with your chest puffed out like you come from Arkansas. You're going out there and you are producing. That's what it's about. Make the most of, like you said, make the most of your opportunity on the court.
And I did forget about Leighton Blocker. He's at DePaul, and I think he's averaging close to 8 points a game. He was one that I wanted to stay here. But, you know, the scenario is going to be different for everybody. But I think, like we've talked about, especially in football, on a lot of guys is, you know, the grass isn't always greener. And I follow these guys after they leave just to see what they do. And it's not to crap on them. It's not to talk bad about them. It's just to see, did their situation get better? Especially the ones that are from the state of Arkansas. Baltimore just scored first touchdown of the game.
There we go.
Hey, and also, because I posted, you know, the video yesterday of it was something from the Chiefs game. It was the flag. Yeah. Anyway, and there was somebody in the comments that were like, oh, it must be a Cowboys fan because we're from Arkansas and we're posted in anti-Kansas City. And it was more of a anti-ref, anti-NFL thing than Kansas City, in my opinion. But for the Cowboys, just so the Kansas City fans don't think that I'm, you know, not doing this to all other fan bases. Is this the furthest that Tony Romo has gotten is in net commentating this game in the playoffs? I know he's like two playoff games, but I just don't know if they're both wild card games.
Yeah.
So y'all answer me that.
Well, and that's the thing, you know, it's funny. Like, you have a bunch of the Patriots fans with talking about Mahomes and all this special treatment.
They got the treatment for years.
He got slapped on a shoulder pad and they called roughing the passer. Oh, that's different. He got plenty of calls. I was like, well, y'all don't have any right because they got away with the slate gate. Spygate, all that stuff.
What was it? The forward motion, forward pass.
The one against the Raiders.
He had an entire rule change because of that, and he now admits it to this day.
Yeah,
that it should have gone the other way.
Yeah. Well, how many gates have they had? They had Fumblegate, Spygate, Deflategate. So y'all have no business talking about what's going on with the Chiefs. Now everybody else does if they feel like there's favoritism. which some of the calls do look goofy, like the one where the two Texans players hit each other and they called.
You even had Troy Aikman like, oh, ridiculous. Come on.
Ridiculous. It is ridiculous. It's just pick and choose.
That's my thing, is it's not so much a against Kansas City thing as it's against the referees in the NFL. They want a darling child. They had it with Tom Brady and the Patriots. Now they have it with Kansas City and Mahomes. And I get sports. It. You're just catching the brunt of the irritation with Michael Jordan did the same thing. He used to sit there and argue and go back and forth with refs to get calls his way game after game after game. And it worked.
You think about Alabama football. You think about Duke basketball. You think about the Patriots, the Yankees, any of these teams that are winning and winning, you're tired of them winning. You're tired of seeing Taylor Swift in the press box. You're tired of all the theatrics that surround it. Patrick Mahomes' brother, which that was the one reason why I was hoping TikTok would be banned. You know, you have these people around the situations that don't make it any better. That's where, plus they're winning. So I get the frustration of why everybody's piling on the Chiefs because they're winning a lot. Yes, it does look like they're getting some favoritisms, but you still have to play a, 60-minute game. So, but I know wrapping up, you have a big game, and you'll have your shot to, if you win, you'll have a shot to at our guy, Justin Daniels at River Valley Restoring.
If this game goes my way, there will be – I'll either have to stay off of Facebook for the next week or there will be a lot of back and forth going on.
Yeah. It's one of those things that when you get, I've really never been a pro person. I was when I was a teenager, but I got off the pro wagon and just went strictly college. But it's, you're down the conference championship games now, of course, like, and we got to also look at where we're at regional. We don't have a pro team. So it was either Chiefs or, when you look at football, the Cowboys, but Chiefs is more so. You had a few of those Kansas City diehards. They were Royals fans and Chiefs fans. But, you know, back in the day, WGN was huge in Arkansas. Mm-hmm. So that's why you see the Cubs fans and the Cardinals fans, because they're like, well, I don't want to be a Cubs fan, so I'll be a Cardinals fan. So thanks to WGN, that gave us some kind of baseball other than the Rangers, because I think back – I don't know when Fox Sports Southwest really started coming on strong, and you could see some of the Rangers games and the Cowboys games. But before that, it was Harry Caray and the Cubs, and then you seen the Cardinals.
Well, and that's, WGN was how I watched Jordan basically, day in and day out during. I mean, I've watched, I don't know how many midday, like Chicago local newscasts that I have no clue what was going on, but I still watched it because I got WGN.
Oh yeah.
Watch it over Five News, like I have it, like I said, any clue, but that's why we got to watch Jordan, like, cause back then there was only one or two games on a week altogether on national television.
And then you had the, that post game show or after game show with the Bill Winnington, and they had the post game show, and then that's why a lot of people were Jordan fans, because he's my goat. I don't know if he's your goat, but he's a lot of people's goats, but that's what we had. We don't have 24/7 sports. And that's where you're seeing some of these kids, they get freshman, sophomore, junior in high school, and they're getting all these highlight reels and you see all the highlights. Then they get to the true limelight of college basketball. There's a gap. High school and NBA are similar in the style of play, AAU, all that. But it seems like there's a gap where you hit the professionalism of set plays, zone defense, all this stuff. And I think that's a lot to do with it, too, is this is probably the first time some of these kids are actually running set plays. It's run and gun, just shoot a three. Don't have to play a lot of defense because you're just trying to outscore the other team. So I've thought about that too when it comes to the college game, but you still have to adapt. You still have to, you're playing college ball. This is how they're doing it. So you need to go out there and just put your pants on and got to get this thing turned around, because I know you are just as bad as me. I'm tired of coming on here talking about loss after loss. And you got a couple of games left for the Kentucky game, because look, I'm dreading that game. I'm really dreading that game, because I just feel as of right now we're watching, they are going to run us off the floor.
And I'm glad that with the team being where it is at, that we can. I know before we were wanting us to be a home and home, but yeah. I'm glad it's not with the, with what we've seen. Like I can, I guess I can, I hate saying I can handle it or I can deal with getting embarrassed in Rupp Arena, but if they were to come in and do the same in Bud Walton Arena, I feel like it would be 10 times more disrespectful. So I'd rather just see this one game and maybe we'll get surprised. I don't have high hopes, but crazier things have happened in the world.
Well, you got Georgia coming up on Wednesday, Bud Walton Arena, 8 o'clock tip off, SEC Network. Then you play Oklahoma on Saturday at home, ESPN2, where you can see that at 7:30. Then you get a week off until that game in Lexington on February 1st. So two more games until that game. So I know we put a lot of emphasis on it, but, you know, I think that's going to be the turning point. Either they're going to give up or they're going to reload. So we'll see. But before we go, we're going to give a shout out to our newest partner, Underdog Fantasy Sports, a new sporting app where you can play along. Use our promo code HAWG to sign up, get up to a $1,000 entry bonus. We'll play an ad and we're going to hit the road.
Hey, sports fans, tired of the same old fantasy leagues? Ready to elevate your game? Then you need to check out the Underdog Fantasy Sports app. With Underdog, you can draft your dream team in just minutes, compete in daily and season-long contests, and win big without the hassle. It's the ultimate fantasy sports experience right at your fingertips. And here's the best part. Use promo code HOG when you sign up to get your first deposit matched up to $100. That's right. Double your cash and double your chances to dominate the competition. Don't wait. Download the Underdog Fantasy Sports app today, draft your winning team, and turn your sports knowledge into cold, hard cash. Remember, promo code HAWG for a special bonus. Underdog Fantasy Sports. Play, win, repeat.
All right, Adam, you got anything before we wrap it up and let you get to your game?
No, I'm good.
All right, 7-0 Ravens. Bills have the ball on the Baltimore 19, 7:30 left in the first quarter. So, Adam, I'll let you get to it. But for everybody, thank you for tuning in tonight. There we go. He's double duty in it. So, yep. But everybody else, thank you for tuning in tonight. I want to thank all of our sponsors, Believe Network, Underdog Fantasy Sports, and Bet Online. We will catch you on Thursday.